It's my very great pleasure today to welcome Martin and to introduce him. And Martin is going to talk to you about his own incredible personal journey. So I will hand over to Martin Stewart. Welcome, Martin.
Thanks, Fahey. Good afternoon, everyone. Well, what a subject at this time of amazing history that is so unfortunately being wreaked upon the world at the moment. We need resilience, we need to be calm, and we need each other. I optimistically feel that the world is facing an enemy rather than confronting each other. And that's one thing, one component of resilience, and that's optimism. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Adam Morris, 2019 Blind Australian of the Year, from one Blind Australian of the Year to another. Adam, congratulations. I say that to you, and you are a well-deserving winner who allows us to be informed and to get plenty of details to links to services and to various forms of information such as technology. So thanks to your contribution to this country. So resilience is invisible, but it's so practically needed in many functions of our lives. What is it? Well, if you want me to tell you what it is, I can't. But I can tell you of my experience, which has led to me being able to move forward despite many, many challenges. Some that you know about, some that you know less about, but are beginning to because of some articles that have been spread throughout our community and the nation. One in particular started all this, all the obstacles that I needed to overcome. And that is the way I was raised. My father extremely brutally handled my brother and I. My mother doing her best to protect us. And I remember only 7, 8 years old as I was aware of the Second World War. I remember using my first tactic to overcome, and that is to reflect upon the pain that was inflicted upon those in the Japanese war camps. And I thought, well, maybe I'm slightly better off than they were. As my head was being dumped under water in a pool, which is supposed to be for fun, for the 20th time in 3 minutes, down, back up, down, back up. As I was to be brutally handled in what my brother and I call the slaughter shed. We called it this because we were often sent down there, stripped bare, and hit with a cricket bat time and time again. My father would go upstairs to the main house, leave us standing to wait for what was to come. He'd walk around us and tap the bat on the floor. We didn't know who was going to be hit first, but we knew we were going to be hit. We were never allowed warm baths. We were often dragged out of cold ones and hit with the bat again. This would be a daily occurrence. Amongst other just as brutal punishments. We were humiliated by being called names that usually reflected animals. Well, animals behave better than he did, much better than he did. We were pushed against heaters. No one really knew about it at the time because we were trying to keep the family together by remaining silent. Even in cricket trips, we were separated from our team because my father was not a social person. They didn't know what was going on inside our room before going out to play. If we didn't perform the way that he felt we should, we were dealt with. If we did perform the way he thought we should, we were still dealt with. So cricket trips were not fun, but we still played. We still performed. And I was still thinking about the men and women in army camps. Then moving on through other challenges, some of those that were inflicted by my own actions, reputation problems developed. So how do you overcome those? It's often said reputations are easy to get and harder to lose. Bad ones, that is. And yes, as Faye just said, most people had me as an angry man. I think I was a sad person because I was very challenged by losses of relationships because I didn't understand what they were, how to handle them. And the reputation that I had bothered me so much because I wanted to passionately contribute to the betterment of our community, but was being held back by understandably being I wanted to be part of the decisions, not just reactions. So I was seen as an impulsive, angry, reactive person, not as a thinker, not as a potential round a table contributor. And that in itself was taking energy away from me because I wanted so much to have respect rather than disdain. Even when outside the Royal Victorian Institute for the Blind, where we were saying so much about what we believed should happen, we were being protested against. Understandably, once again. I believe not because of what we were saying, but because of how we were saying it. I think history now has settled the fact that what we were saying was what was needed and what now has been concluded. Many consumer bodies, representative councils, and reforms have happened as a result of that. Would they have happened anyway? Probably. At that speed? Probably not. And there's those who are here today. And I think there's people like Bill Jolly, Stephen Jolly. And it's always a problem when you mention people because you're going to miss someone. And I apologise for missing many at this stage.
Gallery view.
Certainly were people who benefited from what Penny did, because they were the people with the respect around the tables dealing with the issues which we raised, which we were protesting about, and may I say, being arrested over. And I congratulate them for taking advantage of the moment, which was extremely tumultuous in Melbourne. And for those who are too young to know, I can tell you,
gallery view,
all have benefited from the meeting, the work that was done to create the reforms. Then of course, there was the marriage breakdowns, and you know, some of them were my issues, some of them were just issues. I, in hindsight, and can occur for a multitude of reasons, but one of them was because I was so public. One could remember, I'm sure, the Kennett Peacock tape issue, where, quite frankly, my life became a media circus. An absolute everyday event of cameras and questions. I'd travel somewhere and the media would follow, even if it was just to the supermarket. They thought it was to a solicitor to organise my defence. As it turned out, it wasn't needed because all actions did not occur, because at that time, offences didn't happen. But it was a public time which destroyed yet another relationship. And I regretted it. About 3 years later, I apologised to the people concerned in a Herald Sun article. But while all this was happening, I was still moving forward, still not being pushed down, but realising that the tactics had to change if I was to sit at the decision tables, if I was to be respected, to contribute, to make the difference that I wanted to make, to be the person that I knew I was, but others misunderstood. Are we still live?
Yes, we are.
Okay, sure.
Sorry, Martin, we are still very much alive.
That's okay.
And it is a brilliant speech. Keep going.
I'll continue.
Thank you.
So something had to be done about it. I didn't like feeling misunderstood. There was an inner turmoil that was getting worse within me. And I knew that part of that was I wasn't sending the messages out that should be. So I spoke to David Blythe, and he told me what was wrong. He told me what I should correct. I wanted to know, and that was the first thing that I believe he was respecting, the fact that I wanted to learn how I could change the message, how I could get this respect that I so desired. And he kept reminding me that he used to be like me. And I've told people that. So you will be understood. It will be okay. So that was my next lesson, and that's patience. Patience with myself. Patience with those who were resisting my attempts to be understood, who were protesting, who were, in some cases, actually scared of me. And that's the big thing that I was really concerned about, that people were scared of me. And I thought, why? I'm a pretty good sort of a guy. I think about gentle things. I don't feel angry, but I'm obviously displaying it so out there that people are, in some cases, frightened. So more work had to be done. The cause wasn't helped by my, what I still have today, and that's passion. So I had to have an understanding there is a difference between anger and passion, and there is. And that is the language that you use. Get away from the personal, get into the subject. Stay on message, not on an individual or people. Talk about what your concerns are and why you have those concerns. Have the community understand that you understand them. You can't be an advocate unless you know who you are advocating for and what message, therefore, you want to send out. So I went quiet. I went very quiet for a while, just to learn, to listen. And that's the third lesson. Listen better, in fact, than you speak. I remember gaining the position of president of Blind Workers Union of Victoria, and there were many problems that had to be resolved in order for that union to gain respect and to be regarded as a union, not just a social club. And I got the members together and I listened, and then I separated those larger groups into smaller ones, then set up a team of people that commenced the rebuild, gained the respect, and may I add, I can proudly say, achieved the results of better conditions, better wages, and better treatment. I then moved forward into another period of understanding that I was at the table, but wanting to influence the table. So what did I do? I employed my attention skills, not as in attend to me, but attend to them. Have the people around the table understand that I felt honoured to be there. I didn't arrive with all the answers. As a matter of fact, I had fewer of them than they did. I listened to theirs and then started to advocate what I was hearing, to get it out there. In other words, I became a balanced, negotiating representative. And then my accident, the big day, and the much bigger challenge. Because what happened then challenged every part of me, the mental side, the physical, the psychological. There wasn't one aspect of that day that didn't go without a complete, patient, persevering part of me that was then needed. It was needed to withstand immeasurable pain. What people may not know is that I was very badly burnt from top of my chest right down to my toes. My many fractures on the face and ribs. In other words, my body was under challenge. So was I. But I then employed another thing, and that is, okay, you don't need to know now. I recall very deliberately while in the ICU saying, you don't need to know what happened. You don't need to know yet. Just wait, wait. Because I just knew that if I asked, I wouldn't be able to handle it at that point. So I deliberately did not ask. Being blind actually became an advantage. So just gradually, I got back to reality because the drugs were clouding that. I thought I was lying on stairs in a house. I just wondered why every time I attempted to sit up, I was being asked if I was okay. On the left, on the right, at the front, at the back. Why are so many interested in whether I'm okay? I imagined that one of the nurses was one of my past partners, and I kept on referring to her as that person. Yes, I was all over the shop. My mind was everywhere except where I was, which was probably a good thing. As I've said, I knew something serious had happened, but I didn't want to know what it was. And I think that that's me employing a strategy of gradually receiving the shocking, the horrific, but only when I was ready to know. So it came time when my father-in-law walked in and said, are you going to be all right? Unknown to me, my life was hanging in the balance, as Faye referred before. Well, it was a long time before I answered, but apparently it was only 20 seconds. I thought it was 10 minutes. But I do remember many things flashing through my mind with that question. Are you going to be all right? And I decided then, yes, I am. I'm going to be absolutely okay. I couldn't communicate. I could not communicate because I had many things everywhere on me. So I squeezed as hard as I could. I squeezed the hand of my father-in-law to transmit, yes, I will be. And what I meant by that was very dynamic. I remember just knowing that I was going to come back, and I was going, and I had a plan. I actually had a plan from 1 to 10 right there about how I was going to ensure that that okay, that yes, was the truth. I've listened to a broadcast very recently, thanks to a person who is on today, from, I think it was Young Blind Citizens, the youth group of Blind Citizens Australia. I recently listened to that recording. And at that time, I was stating that although there was going to be challenges, that I would be okay. So I've remained consistent, and that is the other message I want to send to you about resistance, about resilience, and that is consistency. You've got to be consistent with yourself and with others. So I stuck to the plan. And that's why I'm standing here today, being able to talk in this way. And the plan was to keep things as much as possible the same as they are now. Keep being passionate, keep believing in what I did before. So in other words, I went back to the past, realized who I was then, and had a plan to stay that way. I was very aware or becoming aware also of the massive support that I had from our community, something that I felt I needed to return with my support for them, for us. So it actually, in lots of ways, redoubled my energy and my efforts, all the things that I intended to do from there on to repay the support that I most definitely, in so many ways, received. The hospital was always a very busy place. And I admit that there were times that I wish it wasn't. But I had in my mind, I will not disappoint anyone. I will talk to the many who were coming in. I won't not do it. The hospital's staff were asking me, are you okay? You sure you want this person and that person and all kinds of others who said they were coming in, those who were waiting in the waiting rooms to come in, other than the ones that were already beside my bed. And I said, yes, 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 please, please. I know that our community is traumatized by what happened, and they are traumatized because they know it could have just as easily happened to them. Mm-hmm. I'm very aware that my accident was as a result of an everyday action, catching trains, that our community must perform because we need to get to work, we need to get to friends, we need to get anywhere. And of course, our main source of travel is transport. So I knew that I needed to get a message out there, and that's why I got permission to come out of hospital to go to that Young Lion Citizens meeting and talk and remind people of what happened and talk about some potential preventatives. And of course, the preventative that is being built as we speak is the barriers on the trains between carriages, which will be rolled out in time. So I learnt to promise myself to be consistent, to stay on message, and to give what I got. And that's tremendous support. And that's resilience personified, because if you can keep the faith in yourself while obstacles, even made by yourself, and challenges attempt to push you down, to buffet you aside, if you can be comfortable with yourself and listen to others and understand what you'll need to do so they will listen to you, you must stay consistent, persevering, without shouting, without having people feel uncomfortable in your presence. Have them know that you understand because you've listened to them, you've heard them, you've retained the message that they would like you to send out. Not your message, their message. And that is the only way to become an advocate in the true sense of the word. Because we all can beat our own drum. We can all shout our own story. But if you want to be an advocate, a collective one, if you want to have an influence for those that you are advocating for, you must listen. But listening is just one thing. It's also got to be what message you put out as a result of what you've heard. And if it's still only your version, you've got it wrong. And I think that's the essence of resilience, being comfortable with yourself, your own company. It sounds corny when singers and others say you've got to love yourself, but I believe it's true. Because if you do, it doesn't matter where you are, you're with the best person you know, and that's you. And that is a defense against many demons, particularly loneliness. There were times I'd feel very lonely, probably in part because of my own actions, which alienated people. But now I feel connected, but most of all, I feel comfortable with myself. So I can sit in a room for days on my own if I had to, knowing that everything is okay because I'm with myself. Now that sounds selfish. I understand that. It's not, because you can pick up a phone, be on Zoom, and be with others at any time you choose. But if you choose not to, you're still okay. Sleeping with yourself is fine. Sleeping with someone else is also fine, but you're in control. I think that that's where I'd like to leave off when it comes to this keynote. I want people to know that if you reach into yourself and look at what you've achieved and look forward to what you want to achieve, you'll know that there's work that you have done and there's work that you need to do. Isn't that a great reason to live? Thank you.
As always, Martin, you're amazing. You're an inspiration to all of us, I have no doubt. And you so encapsulate the meaning of the word resilience. Okay. Someone's got their jaws on. So we can now throw the floor open to questions if you're happy with that, Martin.
Yes, absolutely.
And the way to ask a question is, as we mentioned before, Alt plus Y. And then Elise will be able to read out the name of the person who's next on the list. Okay, you're right to go with that, Elise?
Yep, I think we're ready to go. And also for people on the phone, it is, star six. And then star nine to unmute yourself if you're on a phone. I'll just have a look on the list at the moment to see who's got a hand up. And sadly, it's not showing me as I thought. So if you've got your hand up and I haven't mentioned your name, can you just say your name now? I'm not seeing anyone at the moment.
Elise, it's Steve Hearn speaking. Well, I joined Steve. The conference a bit. How you going, mate? How you going? Well said, yeah. Martin. I joined the conference a bit late, so just letting people know I'm here.
Thank you.
Steve, I think we've got a couple of other late
We do.
Got Cassandra, and I can't read all of the name, and Alana Stewart, and And we've got Glenn Campbell.
Thank you.
Speaker tomorrow.
And I haven't seen anyone's hand up yet.
No. So do we have any questions? Someone's speaking. Do we
Somebody wants to speak?
I keep seeing little flashes of light that...
I think it's buffering.
Yeah, somebody's unmuted, but they're not speaking. Sadly, I'm unable to see any hands. Oh, wait a minute. I do see one. Phone number ending in 130 has raised
their hand. That's Colin Watson. I'd just like to point out that on the telephone, it's *6 to unmute, as I understand it, and *9 to put your hand up.
That's correct.
Yeah, you express it the other way around.
Sorry. So can you confirm that for me, Adam?
That's what's in the
Colin's
email.
Right. Sorry, Colin's right.
Yeah, Colin is right. It's 6 to unmute.
6 to unmute.
And
9 to raise hand.
9 to raise your hand.
*6 to unmute and *9 to raise your hand. Sadly, Adam's IP was a bit flaky there. Yeah. He was dropping out.
Yeah, well, I'd just
Elise,
like to...
Can I make a comment? Sorry.
Go ahead, Jamie.
I just wanted to say, somebody who's known Martin for a very long time, there were lots of things there I heard that I didn't know, but I just wanted to congratulate him on a very wonderful and inspiring speech.
Mm.
Really, I don't have any questions, yeah. But, yeah, thank you, Martin. It was just awesome.
Thank you, Jamie. Colin.
Yes, what I would like to say is also what an inspirational talk that was, Martin. We're all absolutely blown away by it. But the thing that struck me while you were talking is that as blind people, we've probably all shown a similar resilience over the years. Like my resilience would be, you know, yours would be a factor of 50,000 to 1 to mine. But we all have to overcome a disability in a greater or lesser way. Now, the fact that you've had a much bigger challenge than most of us just means that you've overcome a bigger challenge. But we all do that. And as blind people, I think we might underrate what we do. Now, I know I've had a lot of sighted people say to me, you know, they're gobsmacked that for 18 years I commuted from Bowen Heads to Melbourne every day, 2 hours each way to work. And I must say that there were times when I thought, what the hell am I doing this? This is bloody ridiculous. It's a 12-hour day, earn a living. And then the penny drops, well, mate, you're blind. What are you going to do if you don't do this? You're not going to walk down the street and pick up a job. You got a job, be bloody grateful you got it and put your head down and your bum up and keep on with it. And I think that's the lesson we all learn. And from the talk that Martin's given then, we realise that, yeah, we are resilient, but by God, we can be a bloody sight more resilient than we are already, because he certainly is. And thank you, Martin. You're inspiring.
Could I make a comment? Oh, sorry.
Yep, somebody else wished to make a comment. I didn't catch who it was.
It's Geordie, but I didn't want to interrupt what Martin was going to respond to there. Sorry.
Okay, if I just respond and then it's okay, Geordie.
Yep.
I just wanted to say, yes, I do feel that if you
sounds like
it's yeah.
You're losing you a bit, Martin.
It's very musical.
Person and you are independent, that you are already a person who can naturally thank you. Agree for me. The internet's under pressure because of the circumstances we're in.
Yeah.
Perhaps if people have got their video turned on, turning that off might help a bit.
Yeah. I think hardly anybody has video on.
Not too many people do. We have John who's joined the meeting. And Geordie would like to say something, I do believe.
Yeah, there were just two comments I wanted to make. Firstly, Martin, I remember where I was when I heard about your accident. I was overseas with a friend in Northern Ireland and looking through my email and read about your accident, and then was just horrific, because as you pointed out in your speech, that it could have just as easily been me, and it was very evident to me when I read that email. So I felt sick, you know, thinking about it. But I really appreciated you coming to that Young Blind Citizens meeting. It's something I'll remember forever. And the other comment I had was that I think we go through our lives as blind people wanting to prove how good we are, because a lot of people put barriers and low expectations on us. And I think certainly as I've got older, I've realised that it's okay sometimes just to have a day off and say, yeah, some things are challenging in life, and sometimes a full-time week for us takes more energy out of us than what it would for a sighted person. And I think resilience can sometimes be acknowledging that and taking the space and then coming back with more energy afterwards. So yeah, just thank you very much for an extremely powerful presentation.
Thank you, Geordie.
Thank you, Geordie. Thank you, Martin. Number ending in, I think it's 130, I'll just confirm. Yes, number ending in 130 has raised their hand. Could you please go ahead?
Now that's Colin Watson. I've already had my say, mate.
Oh, thank you. See if I can unraise your hand for you then. Anyone else would like to make some comments? It's only up on the board. Dean, could you please go ahead?
Dean needs to unmute.
Dean, could you please unmute? Because we have another person waiting behind you.
There we go. That should be okay. I think I've sort of realised throughout my life, I've had to really be resilient, as we all have. And I'll just mention a story that I experience I had in my life where I had to be really resilient, and that was something that we've all faced, and that is long-term unemployment. I was out of work for nearly 6 years, and I just persisted. And what Martin said about being persistent and, you know, consistent in your approach, you'll eventually achieve results. I've been in the job for just over four and a half years. Excuse me. And it's a job that I really enjoy. And something that my team leader said at my recent review was, it's really good how you really appreciate the chance you've been given in getting, you know, seeking employment and maintaining, and, you know, it's really, really good that you've had that, you know, you've got that that appreciation for what you've got. So yeah, that's sort of what I'd like to say. That was a really good speech, Martin, and yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you. We have a person who calls themselves, and I quote, call in User_1, if you know who you are, has their hand raised. For that person,
where the number's not showing.
Yes, but it actually says call in user.
That's what I'm saying, that anyone who rings in where their number's blocked will have that.
Okay, Martin. Adam. Could you also just repeat the hand-raising command again for us?
Star 9 to raise your hand, and star 9 also puts it down. I'm wondering, Elise, whether it's worthwhile you unmuting everyone just for a minute to see.
But a few have come back onto mute. They've muted themselves. I'll just do another global unmute. Now,
that person is actually attempting to talk, Elise, and they keep coming in but then not saying anything. So...
sorry, phone, I missed
them. I'm just saying that the person calling user one, there's only one of them. They're just there now. You're about to speak. Okay.
And so it would be star 6 to unmute them, but they should be unmuted anyway. I know on Windows you can tell next to the person whether they're muted or unmuted, but not sure about the Mac.
Okay. How about on the iPhone with Zoom, Adam? How do you put your hand up?
You have to go into the More tab and then flick around there, so it's not quite as easy, but and you know, it can be done.
What seems to be happening as well is that some clients are getting a message, the host would like you to unmute. So as a result,
yeah, I've been getting that message.
You may have to answer that dialogue if you want to be unmuted, and I've tried to unmute you. Because not everybody's coming up as unmuted on the board. I might be able to force it individually.
If I can suggest, can I suggest something here? That the chairperson, Faye, you've got all the names of the people who are present. If we could unmute everybody, and Faye just asks any individual if they want to say something or ask a question.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Well, we've tried that. I'm trying to unmute several people that won't let me unmute them.
Okay.
And there are also some people who have come in that aren't necessarily on the roll either.
Yes.
Okay. We've got... I'll just work through the list that I can see in front of me. So was that Dean just speaking? We've had Dean.
Yeah.
We've got one which says iPhone. Now, I'm not sure who that is.
iPhone Bill is Jolly.
That one? Who was that?
Bill Jolly is iPhone.
Sorry?
Bill Jolly.
Bill. Okay, Bill. Do you have any comments that you'd like to make, or would you like to share anything regarding where you've demonstrated resilience, which I'm sure you have?
Well, I do want to make a couple of comments. So thank you for the chance to do that now. I've been in the room from time to time, and I've thought to myself, Bill, pay attention, because at this time, you're in the presence of greatness. And one of those occasions was when Bishop Desmond Tutu, the Archbishop from South Africa, from Cape Town, was at the Disabled People's International Congress in Australia in 1995 or whenever it was. I can't remember the exact year. And I was listening to, when I was listening to Martin, I was thinking, I'm in the presence of greatness here. So pay attention and learn something. And I suppose when I think about my life and how long I've known Martin, I wish I'd known Martin better than I do. I've known Martin as a colleague for a long time, but I haven't known Martin as a personal friend and been able to see often at first hand those really strong qualities. I first met Martin back on the cricket field, and that was Martin's first carnival. Martin and Murray were there. And Martin, there was one thing that I did know then, and that was that there was something wrong with your father, and there was something wrong with that relationship. But I couldn't put my finger on it because we didn't really socialise off the ground. But to hear the difficulty and the pain that you went through, it reminds me that all of us have our own stories. We all have our own family situations. We all have our own challenges, some of which we share outside of our close circle, and sometimes we don't. And it behoves us when we speak in public to be very mindful of what we say and how that can impact on people in the room. So, for example, these days we community expectations have changed. We wouldn't tell the jokes sometimes that we might have told in public 30 or 40 years ago. That's just one example of how things have changed. Your presentation, Martin, was outstanding, and your contribution to the wider blind community has been outstanding. I've often said that every social movement, every strong advocacy movement,
and a conference
needs its Martin Stewarts, as well as it needs its Hugh Jeffries or Michael Simpsons. So it needs the whole spectrum of people. And one of the things that Martin has done is been prepared to go out there, man the barricades, push the boundaries, and change the debates. And as you say, Martin, now that the barriers are coming in for the trains, it's taken a long time, but it just shows that sometimes we do have to be patient, and the world will catch up with us. And the things that we have long advocated for will eventually happen. So thanks very much for your presentation. It was fantastic. And getting ready for the football season, the Mighty Bombers to start playing soon. I thank you for such a great contribution to this conference this weekend and to the blind community generally.
Thank you, Bill, very much. And thank you for nailing some of those decisions at the boardrooms that I wasn't allowed into at the time. Thankfully, I'm there now.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Bill. Really, really well said. Next person working across is Barry Chapman. I'm not sure whether you would like to make some comments, Barry.
Yeah, thanks, Faye. I don't really have a lot to say. Very interesting talk there, Martin, and very inspiring. And certainly I learned a lot of things that I didn't really know about you. And I've got to be honest and say, sort of in the early days, going back when I first knew of you and sort of I had certain opinions about you with sort of a radical and an exhibitionist and all that sort of thing. And I just think I've come to realise now in latter years that you had a way, like your objectives were good, but maybe in retrospect, as I think you've indicated now, there could have been a different way of doing it. And my opinion of you today is certainly a lot different than what it was, say, a number of years ago. And I just think of the achievements you've made here, particularly in New South Wales. And one thing I can comes to mind is how you managed to get them to realise on our trains that we shouldn't do away with the guards. And I think that was really a sole effort on your behalf, that you were able to convince the powers that be that what can happen if we don't really have that of the guards on the train and how important that is. So thanks very much again, Martin.
Thanks, Barry. I knew that I was the one person in our community, because of the injuries that have occurred to me, that I could make the point, and I did so. And the minister certainly saw and heard that point.
Thank you, Barry. I'm just looking at the list of names here, and I'm thinking, you know, this is a bit like the Blindness World royalty. You know, we've got Bill Jolly, we've got Stephen Jolly, we've got Barry Chapman, and we've got Martin Stewart, and a range of other people who, you know, over the years that I've been associated with blind and vision impaired people, have been the names that you keep hearing, and the people who are out there, you know, representing our community at committees and standing up and being counted. And hopefully this group of people will be an inspiration to the younger people who are blind and vision impaired coming along. So as I'm moving across, the next person is Lauren Hayes. Lauren, would you like to make any comments?
Thanks, Faye. I don't have too many comments, but thank you, Martin, for a really great speech. And I knew some of your story, but not all of it. So I appreciate you being so open and honest about your experiences. And I think it is really timely, as you said at the beginning, as we're going into this kind of uncertain time, that resilience is something that we're going to really have to think about, not just for ourselves, but how we help each other as a community to be resilient and support each other in this time.
Thank you, Lauren. I'm optimistic about this time, even though it is a horrible time. I do believe that a lot of good will come out of it. It's just we've got to go through it. So that's part of resilience. Part of resilience is to be optimistic.
And next person moving across is Marie Fennick. How are you, Marie? I think you need to unmute. Are you
Marie?
Okay, we might keep moving across and come back to Marie. We've got Jamie Kelly.
I've already made a comment, but I really, I just want to say that we all have resilience in different ways, and I can certainly think of a number of experiences I've had, but we all learn from each other and can be inspired by each other. And I think there's always memorable moments in our lives that we can remember where we were. I can tell you on the day that Martin had his accident, I was sitting at work when I was at 85 High Street. And I remember sort of sitting there and someone rang me and told me, and I was quite horrified. Of course, at that time, Martin and I had some issues happening, but even so, you know, I felt so much empathy for him. And you know, because we can all relate to it. And I travel on the similar trains every day, and I still think about it today and catch those same trains. So, yeah, that's I don't really have anything else to say at the moment.
Okay. And Cassandra?
Yeah, thanks, Faye. I don't really have anything to add other than echoing everyone's thoughts and saying thank you, Martin, for a great speech. Sorry I was a little bit late and missed the start of it, but it was excellent. I have only started to get to know you very recently, but I must say that I feel honoured to consider you a friend. So thank you.
Thanks, Cassandra.
And the next person on our list is someone who really does understand how important resilience is, not only for people who are blind or vision impaired, but for the people who love them. We have Alana Stewart.
Oh, hello. So Martin's my dad, and I think listening to that speech is, I'm sure I've heard aspects of it again and again throughout my life, but it's really good to hear all that. And I think what I've really learned from dad is to take every negative experience that you have, can be, you know, it doesn't have to be something that tears you down and breaks you. It actually can be turned into a strength, like something that you can learn something really valuable from and make your life better. Because of that, improve things because of going through those experiences. So, thanks, Dad.
Thank you for being here, Alana.
And we've got Marie's unmuted again or now. So, Marie, would you like to say anything?
Thank you, Faye. Along with everybody else, I'd just like to congratulate Martin on an excellent presentation. I've only been involved in the blindness community for about 27 years and only was introduced to Martin via various email lists that I joined. And my first impression, unfortunately, of Martin was that he was a rather radical fighter. I didn't know whether he was fighting for himself or for others. And once I heard a little bit more about Martin and the very unfortunate accident that he had on that train, every time I go near a train, I think, God, this is what happened to Martin. And I really admire him for what he does to stand up for himself and for everybody else, you know, in the blindness and not even necessarily blindness community. So thanks, Martin, and keep on fighting for us. Thanks.
I definitely won't be stopping. I'll continue to move the way I do, and that's one thing I've promised myself, and that is that our community is the best cause of all. And while ever we have causes, which I think will be forever, I'll be there.
Absolutely. Okay. Then the next person is John. And I'm not sure which John it is, but would you like to say something, John?
It'll be John Machen.
Okay. No, I don't think he's hearing me. And then we've got Adam Morris, who has known Martin for a very long time, I believe.
I've only met Martin the year before last at the 2018 Blind Alliance function in Brisbane. So I've known Martin for a while before that, but then was the first time that I met Martin. And I'd just like to say that that was a really great speech, and I do agree with whoever it was who said that you know, everyone has resilience in them, and basically, you know, I think that you know, basically keeping on and doing the best that you can in difficult circumstances is a form of resilience. Like Dean, I was unemployed when I moved from Sydney up to Coffs Harbour, and I'm working in a job at the moment that possibly could end because of the difficult times that we're in, because I'm in the hospitality industry. I've got a week off this week, and then who knows what's happening after that. But basically, even though I've got this job, I'm still continuing to look for work. You know, and basically, even though you feel like giving up sometimes, you just got to power on and do the best that you can and hope that, you know, something will come up, you know, that'll be in your favour despite the rules and things that government's put in your way to stop you looking for work and things like that. But that was a really great speech, Martin.
Thank you, Adam.
And we've actually heard from you too, haven't we?
No, you haven't.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Look, I know a lot about the fights that Martin has had, as some of them I had with him back in the 80s, and we certainly copped a lot of flack at the time, but I think those who understood more understood exactly what we were trying to do. A lot of people... look, it's easier to do things in a group, but most of the fights that blind people usually have are alone. And I know that when I first went out to work in a legal area, I tried to work in community legal centres, which is supposed to be helping people with discrimination. But all they did is discriminate against me because I'm blind. They said a blind guy couldn't be a solicitor. So how do you cop that? So it's very real, and it's those fights we often have alone, but to know that people are with us, that we have those people together and a community that works together is great. And finally, I think, well, one of the big things that we achieved in those times, and Martin went on and did more, but was that we fastened the pace of change. A lot more big charities had more people who were blind on their boards or people with disabilities on their boards. My concern is at the moment is they're going backwards, that what's happened is big corporates have moved in on the charities and started bringing them back to the way they were in the 70s, where you had all these corporate people on there and they're bringing corporate values and they're acting like corporations to people who work for them, yet they present themselves to the community as charities. And I think that's the big challenge we have, to reassert our role in managing our own affairs. So great speech as usual, Martin, but the fact that it was good didn't surprise me, because
You know, I've always supported Martin right from the beginning in terms of advocacy and that, and I'm really pleased to see you're getting the recognition you deserve.
Thank you.
Is Roz there? Roz Sackley? We've lost a couple, but okay. Or Gail Bourne?
Hello.
Hi, Gail.
Hello.
Yep. Is there anything that you would like to add, Gail?
No, not really.
Okay. And Roz? How about you, Roz?
Sorry, I've just unmuted myself. Martin, it was an excellent speech. Thank you very much. A lot of it I didn't realise because it was you know, in Victoria, and there's still a lot of you know, there was a lot of, well, I wasn't in the midst of everything, so I didn't realise what was happening. And it was brilliant work that you did with your friends as well. But as someone said, there's a lot of things still happening that people are working alone. And that's really sad for them. Public service really needs an shake up. They have these huge claims that they're doing things, but it's not happening in reality. And a lot of more mature age blind people are working under little 22-year-olds without any experience, and you know. And they are missing a lot because they're not getting the opportunities that they need. So I'm sorry, but things aren't, you know, totally brilliant, specifically in the public service. But there's a lot of people, you know, still in corners that aren't doing what their potential could be. They need real help. But I don't know how to get to them. I've got specific friends that I try and help, but, you know, it's very difficult. But I'd like to ask if you could, Faye, if you could, I'm new to Blind Alliance, so I'd like to know how the organisation is run. And I think this is a brilliant way of being able to talk to people. And we need more national peer support programs.
We do, absolutely.
And I'd just like to, you know, like, it cuts out all the bureaucracy, cuts out all the state stuff, cuts out all the politics. So I'm really happy to be participating, but I'd like to know more about Blind Alliance, please. Absolutely. When you come to the end.
Absolutely, very happy to share that. And I think we've got she's disappeared now. I've lost her. I was going to say Crystal. I haven't seen Crystal yet.
Oh, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, look. First of all, I'd just like to say it's been a privilege to be able to attend this Blind Alliance conference, given I'm not officially a member yet. But like Roz was saying, I'd be very interested to learn all about it and how one registers if one is interested. Your speech there, Martin, I guess the take home for me out of it all was the whole thing of, you know, persistence and consistency. And be that, you know, with me, it's not so much work because I don't have a work-a-day job per se, but for me it's about just in personal things, like be it you know, losing weight or conquering addictions or whatever it is. If you can, you know, persistent in wanting to do that and consistent in the way that you do it, then yeah, you pretty much got it made. So yeah, no, look, thank you for your speech today. I'm really very saddened to hear about your childhood trauma. But just it's just awesome that you've overcome that adversity and here you are. So yeah, thank you.
About those, thanks, Crystal, about that consistency and perseverance, remember that you're going to have bad days. We know through statistical information that mental illness is a big issue amongst our community, and there'd be various reasons for that. So just know that you will have periods of darkness, times when things aren't going well. But be patient with yourself, and most of all, despite those bad days, like yourself, love yourself, because that is what will always allow you to rebound.
Absolutely. Okay, and Brian Reynolds.
Thanks for the speech, Martin. It was excellent. I'd have to say you mentioned passion. In the blind community, when I've done a lot of work, early in my years, I had a lot of passion, but a lot of that's gone out of me for some reason. As I tell Cole and Faye, I've lost the fire in the belly. And sometimes I find it really hard to get on top of things like that, especially at meetings. And there seems to be regular problems that keep on occurring, and lack of attendances or lack of interest from other visually impaired people. You try to organise something, and then it all falls down. So I tend to lose that passion myself. So it was interesting to hear how you fire up the passion and keep it going. So that was very good. I might have a little spark in my belly now.
Fantastic. And there's someone up the top, G. Carney or Kearney? Carney? Would you like to make any comments? No, you can't hear me?
No, but I will for Greg, because Greg is our first person from the United States to join us. Many of you might know Greg Kearney, who used to and work in the library in Perth. I had the privilege of working with Greg for some time. He did a lot for Daisy Book and alternative format production in this country that we can all learn from. And then Greg's just left anyway. But I've been watching Greg come on and off, and did want to see him acknowledged, because he not only has done what he's done for Australians when he worked here in Perth, but he's also continued to take an extremely healthy interest in our blindness community in Australia, all the way back from the United States.
Excellent.
The other thing I'd like to point out is that at the height of our meeting with Martin's speech, we had 45 people on the stream on the internet, and we had 22 at that time. So we had an audience of 67 some odd people during the mid part of Martin's speech. Many of those are still with us now, so we've reached a number of people due to technology, and it's I think we should all stand up and be proud of ourselves here at Blind Alliance for that.
Well done.
I'm wondering, Elise, if it's worthwhile mentioning for the people on the stream as a reminder for how they can put questions forward.
I am led to believe that Colin was monitoring an email box, but I'm not. I might just throw it to Faye for that one.
Yes, he was. Sorry, Cole.
I am keeping my eye on it. I haven't seen anything come through. This certainly hasn't been on the phone. And about every 5 minutes to check the emails, which I'm about to do again. So I'll let you know if anything comes through.
Yes. So the email address is
vtown.com.au,
is that correct?
That's right, cwatson4@vtown.com.au.
Yep, and the phone number?
0417 or +61 4317 659.
Excellent.
0417 371 659.
Sensational. Elise, do you have anything that you'd like to add to what's been said today?
Yeah, I would, because I've had the privilege of knowing Martin really only since I've been back from New Zealand. I caught him on Facebook, and since that time I've had the privilege of getting him to know him better. Of course, he's been part of our Australasian Blind Chat group. He's also a presence on some of our other WhatsApp groups. Had the privilege of inviting him to my birthday, but I delivered service to him once when I was working at Vision Australia, and also in the time I've been working for myself, and all those experiences have been absolutely positive. I remember hearing Martin in the 80s and the 90s and people thinking he was an angry young man, but we know that because that article came out a couple of weeks ago that we posted on Vibel. But it's because of what goes on in the past that makes us all who we are today. And I think it was a gripping speech, an emotional speech. It was a privilege to sit here and be part of it and to make it available to people online. Martin, I would like to thank you very much for a well-presented, from the bottom of your heart speech, and congratulate you on the work you have done and will continue to do. Thank you.
I wanted to say thank you so much to Blind Alliance, but not the organisation. That's already out there, and we're getting to know about it more and more, as I believe we should. I want to talk about the people. And I can tell you, I had an operation late last year that ended up being, or was it the year before, ended up being an extremely painful recovery. And the support that I received from people like Faye and Lainey Heath in Queensland was amazing. A few late night phone calls and much support was given, because the pain that I was experiencing, they're called phantom pains, and it's basically electrical activity which occurs primarily just at the time that you're falling to sleep. That's the thing about phantom pain. It hits you in rather a cruel way, because it happens when you're trying to sleep. Just when you're on the edge of sleep, it hits and it keeps hitting and it won't allow you to sleep. And that was a very, very prominent experience during the recovery period, which gladly I'm through now. That patience had to be employed, but also the friendship and support that I received helped as well. There's no doubt that communicating with someone during such difficulties is of great benefit. So I want to talk about the people, not just the organisation, but the people who run the organisation, because you are very humane, human people that I think a lot of people would enjoy the company of. I know I do, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin, and thank you on behalf of Lainey. Lainey seems to be having some technical issues. We haven't been able to communicate this morning.
I come in there if you don't mind, Faye. Yeah. I've just got an email from Lainey. She's listening in on the stream.
Oh, good.
She says, thanks very much for a wonderful presentation to Martin, and she's enjoying the input from everyone else. It's coming through loud and clear on the stream, and she's enjoying it very much.
Ah, fantastic.
Bye. Stephen Jolly here.
Yes.
It's Stephen Jolly here. I'd just like to make a couple of comments, if I could, before you close this session. If you still are taking comments from people around the meeting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Martin, for that presentation. Most of which I think needs to be said has been said, but you're to be congratulated on the way you've gone through the events and circumstances of life, and I trust that you're very proud of where you are today, and thank you for sharing it with us. I am reminded of one significant takeaway for me, and that is how good it would have been years ago to have the tolerance and the awareness and the respect for people that we probably don't have in our youth as much as we should. And I think of the bloke up the other end of the cricket pitch, the young bloke from New South Wales and his brother from Newcastle. I wish I'd known more about them at the time, but they were great opponents.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I just have a couple of comments to make. The first one is that I sort of have this, I'm very good at visualisation, and I have a bit of a visualisation of Martin Stewart when he's finally laid to his rest, banging on the coffin roof saying, "Hang on a minute, is it accessible?" Because I can see.
I'll make sure that if there's something to be read, that it's in Braille.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yes.
The thing I guess I come away with is, and Martin, you know, that's a soul-bearing presentation. You know, you are absolutely talking from the heart, and you demonstrate to everybody listening, whether it's through the Zoom session or on streaming, that you are an incredible person. You are flexible, you're resilient, you're courageous, you know, incredible courage. I recently did a stint with the NDIA, and when I came to do one of the online modules on disability awareness, who should I see lying on the ground with a guide dog on top of him and police trying to arrest him but Martin Stewart? You know, I'm thinking, wow. And, you know, you've been doing this for a very long time, and it takes an incredible amount of drive and courage to continue through that. So, you know, that's my bit about the presentation. I'll just talk for a couple of minutes about Blind Alliance. Blind Alliance was formed, I think we're 5 years old now. Is that correct, Col? I think it's 5 years this year. And we was a group of people who formed because the funding arrangements had changed dramatically, and funding arrangements and philosophies had changed in some of the bigger agencies, and people were looking for a completely independent organisation, so one that wasn't government funded or wasn't receiving funding from any of the other bodies. We became an alliance because we're not a competitor. We want to work with the other agencies to fill in the gaps that they can no longer fill, either because of those financial constraints or because of a change in their philosophy, because all agencies can't be everything to everyone. And so that's how we started. And we started literally with half a dozen people, and we have just grown. We started in Victoria, in Geelong, and have taken it national. Our president, Helene Heath, is in Brisbane. And we have had a president from New South Wales. We have members in New South Wales, members in Queensland, members in South Australia. I don't think we have anyone in WA yet, but we're working on it. And basically what we try to provide is peer support, information, and a little bit of basic advocacy advice. We've been limited by human resources over the last 12 months, 18 months, but where we can help out, we certainly do. And we're hopeful that through reaching out to people through this forum, we may attract more interest in our organisation and expand our support base so that we can provide that advocacy and information to more people. So, yeah. And peer support, which of course is incredibly important. I've had my 10 or 11 months with the NDIA, so I've learned a lot about the NDIS plans in that time. And, that's a level of advocacy that I can personally help with. Colin has broad advocacy knowledge. He's quite amazing. In fact, he said to me today on the phone this morning, he said, one of the things that I'm really disappointed about is, he said, I like to get on that train and show everybody that I'm a blind person who can get on a train using the technology available, travel to Melbourne, get on another train, travel to Ballarat, and be independent. And, you know, that's really what we want to see. We want that independence to be available to as many people as possible. So as we grow, we can do more. But at the moment, small organisation and limited human resource, but we do what we can. So even if it's just writing a letter to support people, we managed to have an input on getting some walkways from the street into the local supermarket where I live, which was fantastic. We've been in contact with the National Australia Bank, who will not extend or will not allow a person who is on a disability pension to have a credit card. They won't tell you that that's the case, but that's actually what they do. And we've sent letters to support people with regard to Albert. Over the years, we've had quite a bit of input. We had input into the M40 review. And we also run the Blind Australian of the Year. That's Adam Morris is the current Blind Australian of the Year. And we're very excited to have Adam there as well. So if you wish to get involved, we'd love you to put your hand up. And you can email me or call me or Colin, and we will send out membership forms. We're currently with the Bank of Bendigo, but to make it a more national access, we probably will be moving to one of the bigger banks who don't charge fees, so that people can actually join and deposit directly from wherever.
Do Bendigo charge fees?
Bendigo is pretty much Victorian. They do exist in other states, but they're very difficult to find.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
We've got one.
How much does it cost to join?
The membership fee, Faye, is
$10? $10 a year or $25 for 3 years.
Oh. Okay. Sorry.
Bendigo Bank is part of the Bank of Adelaide, so they do have branches in other states, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Limited.
Yes. Do you actually need, to provide any sort of ophthalmology reports or anything horrible that?
No. We just, full membership, you need to be legally blind.
Yeah.
And we have associate memberships as well. And like most organisations, the main difference with being an associate member is that you don't have voting rights. So,
yep, fair enough.
But we'd be very interested in hearing from anyone who would like to join us.
And
like most organisations everywhere now, we're finding it very difficult to get people to get involved. So please don't hold back. If you're interested, get involved, because we will have something for you to do.
Landscape. Absolutely.
Yeah. Faye?
Yes.
It's Ross. Do you have a list of skills by your members?
Not specifically.
I think that might be a good idea to...
Great idea.
Help them to get involved as well, and it doesn't put all the burden on you guys then.
Yeah.
Okay, and it gives people something to work towards.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe if you've got your website, do you have the forms on your website to join?
Our website's not working very well at the moment, but
okay.
Thankfully Elise has offered to help out with that, which is wonderful.
Yes, I think I might open the door for that one, because... I think there's a lot we can do, and I'd like to become more involved. It was a privilege to meet a number of people in Brisbane, which was my first, tangible contact with Blind Alliance, even though I sort of knew of them. And when I heard of them the year before, I thought, oh, I'd like to join that organisation, but I was working for one of the big yeah. boys at the time. So now that I'm independent, it's like, I'm coming in, yeah. guys.
And that's actually, you know, that isn't a limitation because, as I say, we don't see ourselves as a competitor.
No.
Blind citizens can't provide every service. Vision Australia can't provide every service. Guide dogs can't provide every service. And it's a lot of the peer support stuff that we do really well. So, yeah.
It's interesting to say that because I just felt that my then employer might have had an issue with it. Now that I'm independent, you know, it's not yeah. a problem for me. And that may be the worry of a lot of people who work in these organisations, that their employer may have an issue. I don't know.
Hmm. I'm my own employer as well, so I can do what I like.
Get involved. Come along, get involved. Yeah.
I think just a little profile, a tiny profile if members want to do that, and a list of skills that they have.
Okay, beautiful.
Good idea.
That's a great idea.
A membership form, yeah.
I've made a note.
Yeah.
And I've put a list of skills that we have and a list of skills that we'd like.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so my final comment would be to send a huge thank you to all of the organising committee, Brian Reynolds, Denise Reynolds and Talia Gamble, and to thank the board, Colin, Lainey and myself at the moment, and also a huge thank you to Elise, who has organised all of this Zoom for me. I wouldn't have known what to do, and she has set it up and organised it, and she's just been fantastic. And
brilliant.
And thank you to Michael Kelly.
And Michael Kelly has been
streaming.
Yes, which we're most grateful for. So a big thank you. And hopefully as many as possible will join us tomorrow when we talk about financial resilience, because our world is changing. It's all tap and go. And, that makes us an extremely vulnerable group of people. So thank you so much to everyone for attending today. And hopefully we'll see you back tomorrow.
What time tomorrow?
10 a.m.
So not having that other speaker this afternoon about the...
No. Okay. I was going to talk about adversity quotient, but really we've covered what the adversity quotient is, because what it is basically how you respond when bad things happen, you know, how you can use it to your benefit. So I think everything that I would have said in that is covered in Martin's presentation and the comments from all of the participants. So thank you very much, everyone. It's been a great session and we've had some wonderful input.
Thank you.
Hotel in Ballarat were understanding when you had to cancel.
Yes, we did, and they were fantastic. They were wonderful. They refunded our money, which is wonderful.
And the airline? Yeah.
Only one. Yeah. Qantas refunded, but Virgin didn't. Obviously, we hadn't got the right fares, but you go for the cheapest possible to get as many people as possible.
Well, could you get a credit for future flights?
Well, you can, but given that it's government money and it has to be acquitted, you can't.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Never mind.
This is better anyway, because everyone can come.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been fantastic. So, sensational.
Thank you, Faye.
Good morning.
Thank you, Faye. Thank you, Colin. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
Elise.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elise. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.